Coming. Okay, I wonder if, do you guys know who wrote The Cat in the Hat? It's a Dr. Seuss, well done. Yeah, Dr. Seuss wrote The Cat in the Hat. Now, he before The Cat in the Hat was published, 20 years before that, he wrote a book called Something Happened on Mulberry Street, and no one wanted to publish that book. No one. So he kept writing for 20 years before a publisher picked up The Cat in the Hat. 20 years, imagine that, writing. That's why he's got a beard. He's got a long beard, and he's got white hair. And those big glasses, yeah. So that's Dr. Seuss. So, and look, there's other famous people who have not always been so successful. Walt Disney, who did that little trailer we saw today. No, I don't think Walt Disney's got much to do with Michael Jackson. But anyway, Walt Disney, his first job was with the Kansas City Star, and his editor sacked him. And he said that he had lacked imagination and didn't have any decent ideas. Isn't that brilliant? Oprah Winfrey, in her first TV slot, you know Oprah is, so she was sacked by her producer because her producer said she hasn't got a future in TV. Isn't that cool? Einstein, who's heard of Einstein? Hands up. Yeah, all of us, because he's the most famous scientist ever. All right? Have you not heard of him, Lucy? Well, yeah, no, anyway, he came up with some really amazing theories. Just leave it at that. Look, he tried to get into Polytechnic in Switzerland and failed the test to get in to Poly. And then his dad, when his dad was dying, he said, Einstein, he's a failure. And then he was a salesman, and he failed at his salesman job as well. And now he's the most famous scientist we've ever had. Yeah? Now, Moses, he mucked up real bad. All right? As we said, he killed someone. It's interesting, in the video, it comes across, Disney's really made it nice and soft, and he makes a mistake. So if you watch it, just look at that. He makes a mistake. So we've got empathy with Moses, but he doesn't. He's nasty, and he kills someone, and he hides a body. That's what it says in the scripture, okay? So he made a big, big mistake, and he was going to get killed by the Pharaoh, and he knew that, so he had to flee and run away. Now, he had a calling on his life, and a calling is always for the betterment of others. All of us have a calling on our lives. All of you guys have a calling. And you've got to discover that. That's part of living, which is one of the beauty of being alive, isn't it? Sorting out what we're made for in this world. Now, he had a calling, Moses, but he got it all wrong because he tried to take it into his own hands. Because his calling was to free the Israelites from the Egyptians. They're in slavery. And he tried to do it himself by beating up and using violence. Never right. Never right, guys. Is it? To hit other people? Well, look, we'll go into that other one. Yeah. But it's never right with your brothers and sisters to hit each other, okay? Now, let's move on. So, what I want you to do is, you guys and the adults, I want you to remember three things. Three things, okay? If you end up in a situation that is a bit awkward or nasty. All of us have ended up in situations like that, yeah? We got any nodding heads? We've ended up in difficult circumstances. The first thing we need to do is and this is the key, because once you get this one sorted, the rest are fine. All right? This might sound simple, but it's not. Remember, you've got to remember, whatever you've done, no matter how others react, what they say about you, and even how you feel about what you've done and about yourself, you are still a precious child and daughter of the living God. And guys, if you don't take away anything else today, just take that away, because that will sustain you through a heck of a lot of life. is remembering that you are a what? You're a what, Harrison? A precious son of God. Or a precious daughter of God. Now, if you get that, it makes the rest a lot easier. So the other two things is, if you've done something wrong, don't cover it up. Admit it. Moses hid the body because he thought he was going to get away with it. Guys, if you do something wrong and you go and admit that to your mum or your dad or your teacher or your boss, they will admire you a lot more if you are honest and admit to your mistakes rather than cover them up. Yeah? All right? So they'll take you a long way. Others will respect you more. The last thing is you ask a couple of questions. And these are the questions. What have I done wrong to make this happen to myself? I'm sure Moses asked that question. What have I done wrong? All right? And the second one, what have I done differently? Perhaps not kill someone? Probably not a good idea. Now, if it wasn't your fault, the same things apply. Well, if the answer is yes, okay, I did something wrong. Let's go there. Put yourself back into a right relationship with God. Now, I reckon confession is what we have in the church. It's one of the tools we have for coming back into right relationship with Jesus and with God. I reckon it's one of the best gifts for us. And I think it is saying and apologizing to God for breaking that relationship. It's basically for our benefit. Most people think it's because God's offended. Yeah? But it's really a gift to us because God wants us to be okay in our own spirits. Does that make sense? So therefore, embrace it. I think it's been twisted, confession. Like, oh, I'm naughty. I don't want to be naughty. God's angry at me. No. You're still a precious child of God. But he wants you to be free of that burden. Does that make sense? Okay, that's awesome. Thus finished the lesson. Now, Rue's going to take you guys out and you're going to do something really exciting and come back and show us what it is. Okay? Are we going to do that? Cool. Okay, thanks, Lucy. You're taking them out as well. It's up to you. It's all good. Okay, we'll see you in a minute, guys. Okay, for the rest of us here, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into the application from this reading as these guys do something that you'll want to see what they've done later. Remember, God will never abandon you. You are always his son or daughter. As I said, that's the main thing to take away from this reading today. If you don't take anything else, there's a few other things you can, but take that nugget with you. All right? No matter what you do. Anyone here murdered anyone? Not that you're putting your hands up and admitting it. Yeah, I know you have, Troy. Look, Bible's full of murderers who are used by God. Paul and Moses, two of them. Hugely. What does that say? God's a bad manager? He's incredibly merciful and forgiving because once we're adopted into his family, we can't be let go. Look, my kids, my boys in particular, and my girl, they do naughty things at times. But am I ever going to say, you're no longer my daughter? You're no longer my son. No, if we do that on earth, how much more is God going to do that for us as adults? Take hold of the truth of that, guys, because it's something that escapes us. We think God's someone else. Whoosh! That's what we think God is, or who God is. It's a mistake. So, God will never, not, or ever abandon you, no matter what your circumstances are. You're always his son or his daughter. Now, the second thing is persevere. Keep on in faith that God will see you through whatever you're going through. Guys, we talk so much about resilience these days, yeah, and mental health. So much, because there is a lack of hope out there generally in the world. because so much stuff is coming at us. I was getting my hair cut. You notice I got a haircut? Yeah, I needed it badly. I was in Koru Barber the other day, and I was sitting down, and I was there for a long time because they're quite meticulous in there. And I was there for an hour or so, and there was some muzak playing, and I started listening to the lyrics. And the lyrics, they sounded great. It was a nice sort of, you know, dance number. And this woman was singing, and she said, these are the words. I started listening. She said, there is no eternity. There is no healing. There is no hope. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Don't underestimate the battle we are in this world that would rob you of your hope for the future. That would rob you of your hope for the future. It is, Paul talks about, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. This is where it happens. Our thoughts about ourselves and our situations. Moses, when he went into the wilderness, which is a metaphor for temptation, and we'll go into that in a minute, he was wrestling with a number of things, of temptations, because he thought he was stuffed, as you would if you murdered someone. Yeah? But the world wants you, or the enemy, or who we might call as Satan, will whisper those things in your ear. He'll whisper these things in your ear. Now remember those things. God will never abandon you and persevere because, and this is 1 Peter 1:4, because God is a God of faith, hope, and love, he has secured an inheritance for you. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance kept in heaven for you. We don't often preach about this, not enough, because we don't understand heaven a lot of the time. But all I know is that I really believe this, that there is an inheritance, a full inheritance, which we have part of now, that freedom, that will be fully realized when we leave this world. It's kept in heaven for you, Hannah and Patrick, and it can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's 1 Peter. Romans 3, 4 says, well, look, everyone loves a winner. I've spoken about that before. But what about when things go wrong? And when things go wrong in our lives, we will ask these key questions in our lives, and we need to hold on to the faith that we've been given. Romans 3, 4, we glory in our sufferings as because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. In that quiz that Rue did, someone said, what are the qualities of a hero? Someone said to persevere. I started looking at perseverance in Scripture as we focused in on this. It's all over the place. All over the place in God's Word. I don't know about you, but the longer you're a Christian, I've been Christian for about 40 years now, so many people fall by the wayside. I don't know if you know about that, but people do. People just, their hearts grow cold. They walk off. They think church is about consuming churches. It's not about sticking in there with something and being called. Now, all of you have a calling on your lives. All of you. You have a calling on your life, as Moses did. Now, that might be in the secular world, or it could be in the church, or it could be in the community. I was talking to, on Friday night, a friend of ours, John, used to be the privacy commissioner in Wellington, in New Zealand, and he's moved on to a job doing the same thing in England. And I met with him, he was there on Friday night, we had a drink, and we were having a chat. And I said, John, how's it going? He says, oh, it's all right. I said, do you like England? He goes, no. I said, why did you go? Is it ambition? He said, Ian, it's like you with your job, I've got a calling on my life. I thought, what a great answer. What a great answer. Because it's true. Each of us has a calling on our life, and it's a calling to serve and make the world a better place. In a nutshell. That's our calling. It's not complicated. It's hard to find. Yeah? So, we're going to come into land on this. Hebrews says, Hebrews 12:5, do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because God disciplines the ones that he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son or a daughter. So when things get tough, whatever reason, God's still there and you're still a son or a daughter. Now, this is where the struggle comes when things go wrong. More often than not, they're in our failures. Depending on the significance of that failure is the power of the forces that come against us. All right? So, the struggle that we have will be with, I want you to imagine a tough situation that you've been in or are in. Imagine that situation. There are three areas of need that we'll be tempted in. Three. And the first one is the need to take control. The need for power. There are times in our lives, particularly when we need to give up that control. And I've seen that as a minister. When people age, we lose things in our lives that we come to a stage where we need to let go of. That is hard. But there's also situations where when we're younger, when we need to step back and go, I can't do this. I'm going to release it to you, God, because you're bigger than me. And releasing that control brings a freedom, an ironic freedom. Moses didn't know that. He tried to do it himself by controlling the situation himself and got him in huge trouble. So it's a need that we have. It's a good need. The need for autonomy, to be able to make decisions for ourselves and to take control of a situation. Sometimes we need to go, no, I can't do, I should not do this. I trust you instead, Lord. Does that make sense? All right, that's the first temptation. There's only three. The second one, and we're just about finished, is the need to be accepted and respected by a community. In other words, to have a place to belong and call your own. Moses lost that. Whoa. When we don't have a place to belong, it rocks our foundations. It's a good thing to have a place to belong. But when that's rocked, when people start shunning you or speaking about you or rejecting you, you might feel that your community is actually, you don't belong there anymore. Wow, that's huge. As a chaplain working at Massey, that was one of the biggest concerns I had for young people's mental health. Was a community to belong to, besides the family. That's what we're lacking a lot in this world today. The last one is the need for calling, and I spoke about that before, for a purpose. We all need a purpose in life. You see, lots of people who retire and they still grapple for a purpose because it's, if I don't have a purpose, I'm nothing, all right? There comes a time when we won't have a purpose hugely, significantly. When our jobs, we need to let go of, as we were talking before. All right, now as far as those needs are concerned, there will be a time in your life, if you haven't had it already, and I'm sure most of us have, where perhaps all those three things will be taken away. Your power, your place, and your purpose. We need to remember that it's not forever. That you're still a beloved child of God, and these things will not be taken away forever. That is our temptation. That is what the words that are spoken to us by the enemy in our head will say to us. And it'll affect our identity. You're nothing, you're worthless. No, I'm not. I'm a beloved child of the living God. That's where the Bible comes quite useful. Believe it or not. And we're called for a purpose. Now, it's interesting with Moses, he lost all three of those things. Joseph lost all three of those things. This story reminds us of Joseph as well. Jesus lost two of those things. Okay, he lost his power and he lost his place. But he didn't lose his purpose. Because on the cross, he went to the cross because of you and I, because of the love that he has for us, to redeem us and to free us. Just like Moses wanted to free the Israelites. But he did it differently because he obeyed the Father instead of trying to do it himself in his own strength. Does that make sense, guys? All right. What we're going to do is, I hope these guys have finished. Does someone want to go in and call these guys back in? Because Rue's leading the service, not me. As we do that, look, we're singing a couple of hymns today. I think it's kind of, there's God incidents. I mean, I believe in God incidents. So we sang a song earlier where we sang Amen, the word Amen, over and over again. We're going to sing that again later in the service at the end, a song called The Blessing. And we're going to sing Amen. Amen is another word for yes. So when we are in these tough situations, the challenge for us is to say, look, things look crap, excuse my English. They feel pretty rubbish, all right? But yes, yet I will say yes to you, God. I will say Amen to you, God. I've been in that situation so many times. And I know some of you have as well. And I know Moses, well, you find out what happens with Moses. But that is the challenge for us, is to say Amen to God despite our circumstances or because of our circumstances even. Okay? Now, are they coming? Did someone come and check?